Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome, everybody, to an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Hope your Friday is treating you well. Great to have you here. Today, we're going to be going over our grades and film review for week four Packers Cowboys. Some really good stuff in here, some not so great stuff, as you can imagine as well. That's exactly what you get when you get a 40-40 tie, which still seems surreal to say, but that's exactly what we got. So we'll break it all down for you today. Before we get there, shout out to our brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube members, Cody Erickson, Jay Expert, and Michael Rogers. Thank you guys so much for signing up. Appreciate that a ton. It's a great time of year to get signed up for those memberships. Ton of extra content, stuff with Aaron Nagler, Ross Uglum. We've also got our Habish Rotier injury report this week. Now, there's no injury report because there's no game this week. But what I did want to go over as we kind of look at our grades is there was one key injury that really did affect the game this week, and that was Devontae Wyatt. Devontae Wyatt was playing really well. He had a plus 0.15 grade in this game when he was playing until he went out with that knee injury. The sucky part for Wyatt, he was hustling to chase down a screenplay. And while doing so, made a diving attempt to make a play, and his knee went on the hard turf, which is continues to be a problem. Just put grass in everywhere because that's what you should be doing because it's logical and it's healthier and yeah, whatever. We don't need to get into all of that. But he bangs his knee. He's now week to week. And instead of wide in that game, you end up with a lot more Nasir Stackhouse. Nasir Stackhouse had a negative 0.35 grade in that game. So you went from somebody who was grading in the positive and playing well and was making an impact to somebody who was a net negative in this game in a pretty significant way. It's one thing if you have Nasir Stackhouse in there on rundowns. He's still not ideal, but he's serviceable. But as a pass rusher, he gives you next to nothing, whereas Devontae Wyatt is a really good pass rushing defensive tackle. That was a major loss in this game and certainly one that the Packers really had a difficult time overcoming once Wyatt left that game. It's not coincidence that you saw the Cowboys offense really take off once Wyatt left the game. All right, let's get into our key notes from this game. Before we get into the grades themselves, two things that jumped off the tape to me. Number one, the defense played fine. Let me maybe restate that. When you give up 40 points, there's nothing fine about the defensive performance. I get that. I understand it. I was expecting to see some sort of fatal flaw issue, what, you know, something that the Cowboys picked up on, a tell, whatever that might be. And being like, this is a major problem for Green Bay. Their line can't get there. Their linebackers are problems. Their corner. What? I didn't really see anything like that. If there is one thing, it was the play of the corners. The collective group of Valentine, Hobbs, and Nixon in this game were simply not good enough. That, to me, was the biggest flaw in this performance, was the play of the corners. I've seen a lot of other takes and things like that. If the corners just play a little bit better, I think Green Bay wins this game relatively easily. The play by Carrington Valentine where he misses the tackle on Pickens along the sidelines. Too many times they're caught pressing and they couldn't get even hands on the player and the player gets a free release. Contested catch situations where the receivers are coming up with big time catches and they're not able to bat the ball away. Not being able to come up with any turnover worthy plays. We can go on and on, but the corners need to be better than that. The good news is for the first few weeks of the season, they were. The corner issue was not an issue at all. In this game, it really was. If that's the way the corners are going to play, you definitely have more of a problem. I haven't seen that consistently. In this game, Dallas's wide receivers got the best of Green Bay's corners. I don't expect it to be something that continues that way moving forward, but that was the number one biggest issue in this game for me defensively. The other thing was, yes, the tackling needs to be better. There were multiple times where they could have held Dallas in check and maybe kept them into second and long or third and long situations just by making a relatively easy tackle. And instead the play was overrun or they didn't get the player down on first contact or it was just broken tackles, whatever it might be. It was just too many extra yards for Dallas on offense. And it was never one that like they broke a tackle and then went for 20, 30 yards, but it was ones that you broke the tackle. And instead of it being second and seven or second and eight, it's now a first down or it's third and one or sorry, second and one, second and two, right? Like it's a big difference in the down and distance because you didn't rally to, well, they rallied to the football fine, but they didn't get the player to the ground immediately with that first point of contact. That was an issue in this game. It hasn't been again through the first 3 weeks of the season. Think if the corners just play a little bit better and the tackling's a little bit better, this game probably goes a whole heck of a lot better for the defense overall. My other note while watching the tape is, yes, your suspicions are true. Your thoughts are correct. The referees did a very terrible job of not calling holding penalties against Dallas. Couple things, though. Number one, there were holding penalties, and unfortunately, they weren't maybe utilized at the correct time. Like, a ref's only going to throw so many holding penalties, right? It's one of those things where you're like, hey, just hold on every play. They'll call a couple, but you're going to get away with it on the others. I think Dallas played a little bit with that mentality in this game, but when you did get it, there was one that was an offside penalty, you know, for another penalty on the offensive side of the ball. There was another one where you declined the penalty because, you know, you got a stop on them anyway. Like, there were just some things. It was the Nixon face mask penalty where, you know, there was a holding penalty on Dallas's offense, and then Nixon had the face mask, so it was just a you know, offsetting penalties. There were just things like that where you didn't actually get the true benefit from some of those holding calls. The other thing that I will very clearly say here is, yes, Dallas got away with multiple holding penalties, especially on Micah Parsons. Your Green Bay Packers got away with a lot of holding penalties, especially on Rashid Walker and Darian Kennard. I honestly, as much as it pains me to say, I think it probably evened out. It may have even been slightly in Green Bay's favor. So the refs were actually fairly consistent in this game of, hey, we're going to call some on both teams. Both teams got called for a couple, but we're going to let a lot of stuff go, and you're just going to have to overcome it. And I think it benefited Dallas a little bit more because Green Bay's pass rush is better. And so it was slowed down by the holding, although Green Bay's offensive line is not very good either right now. So they benefited as well. And when you're not calling holding penalties, that's how you get to a 40-40 score. When the pass rush is mitigated because, yeah, we're just going to grab you and they're not going to call it, well, both offenses are going to benefit from that. And that's exactly what we saw in this game. If they called holding a lot tighter in this game, I think both defenses would have had a much better chance because Green Bay's defensive line is really good and Green Bay's offensive line is not very good at the moment. So as much as you may be frustrated that Dallas did not get some of those calls, from a holding standpoint, just know, especially Rashid Walker and Darian Kennard got away with multiple holding penalties as well as some of the other players on Green Bay's offensive line as well. All right, let's get into our grades for this game. Let's start with our top three offensive players. Number one, Jordan Love, plus 2.30 grade. He was fantastic in this game. There was the one ball that he underthrew a little bit to Romeo Dobbs. Dobbs is open in the middle of the field. Still looked like Dobbs could have caught that, but I don't know if Jordan was expecting Dobbs to come back to the ball a little bit more or just cut his route maybe a yard or two shorter. It's always tough to tell, which is, again, why you have to be careful with grades, because in that situation, we don't know if Jordan just, you know, short-armed it and left it short, or if Romeo was at the wrong distance, or if Romeo didn't come back to the ball in the right way. Those are always things that are difficult. So you have to leave some margin for error when you're evaluating those things. And which is why I don't just like giving a grade. I like talking about it, because then I can tell you, like, yeah, it looks like it's a poor throw from Jordan, but if he's expecting Romeo shorter, well, then it may have been a great throw from Jordan and Romeo didn't run the route the right way. We'll be right back. Today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Now, you and I make decisions every day, but on Prize Picks, being right can get you paid. Don't miss any of the excitement this season on Prize Picks, where it is good to be right. Now, Green Bay has a bye in week 5, which is why it's even more thrilling to get in on all the action on Prize Picks. With no home team to cheer for, it's always more exciting when you're cheering on some of your favorite players in Prize Picks. This week, I'm going with Jahmyr Gibbs to have a big game in Cincinnati, Derrick Henry to have a monster game on the ground against Houston, and Danny Dimes to bounce back big and get a win against Las Vegas. Now, here's the best part. Prize Picks is the only app that offers stacks, meaning you can pick the same player up to 3 times in the same lineup. Want to pick more on Josh Allen's passing yards, rushing yards, and touchdowns? Now you can pick all of them in the same lineup only on Prize Picks. So what are you waiting for? Download the Prize Picks app today using code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. And don't forget to use that code PACKADAY. Prize Picks. It's good to be right. Hey friends, football season is here and that means you're going to want to have a VPN set up to make sure that you are ready to watch the right sporting events that aren't always available in your region. I'll be honest with you guys. A few years ago, I didn't even know what a VPN was. Now, I use my VPN daily for a variety of different reasons, including protecting my private data, changing my browsing location, and having the best premium cybersecurity at all times. And that's why I use NordVPN. NordVPN is the fastest VPN in the world, which means no buffering or lagging while streaming. Plus, world-class cybersecurity, the ability to utilize it on up to 10 different devices, and a VPN that I know is going to work every single time. There's simply no better choice than NordVPN. So here's what you need to do. Go to nordvpn.com/packer to get the best discount off your NordVPN plan. That link, nordvpn.com/packer, will also give you 4 extra months on their 2-year plan. There's zero risk with NordVPN's 30-day money-back guarantee. The link is in the podcast episode description. So what are you waiting for? Go to nordvpn.com/packer today and get NordVPN right now. Tough to say. But that was one where, at least at first glance, it looks like Jordan maybe misses that throw by a little bit. He had the play that Romeo kind of had to break up. It was like a deep post-ish pattern. And, you know, Romeo, you know, kind of came out of his break and then Love threw it. And then it looked like it was going to go right to the safety and Romeo had to break that up. On that particular one, if you watch it close, it doesn't look like Romeo really accelerates out of his break, almost like he wasn't expecting the ball to come his way. I think if he hits his break point and accelerates and is expecting the ball, I think he probably catches that pretty clean and doesn't have to kind of bat it away. Almost looked like he slowed up a little bit on that route. I actually thought that was a little bit more on Romeo than it was on Jordan. You do have the sack fumble, right? The forced fumble that was right before halftime. In general, that was a little bit more to me on Rashid Walker. However, as we talked about with Mike Wall, once you get to 12 yards deep in the pocket, you can do that, but you have to have a little bit better awareness of knowing like, hey, I'm setting my tackles up for failure. Because the way that you're taught as an offensive tackle is if they're going to get that deep, right? If the defensive end is going to come around, you know, that deep, like 12 plus yards behind the line of scrimmage, you just let them go and you walk them right around and you're creating this beautiful pocket for the quarterback to step up into. So you don't really mind as an offensive tackle that they're going that deep and that wide. You're just going to kind of push them and let them go that way. Well, you know what? When the quarterback is 12 and a half yards deep, now they're right into harm's way. So Jordan does need to be a little bit more cognizant of that. But I thought it was really poor protection still from Rashid on that play. I put that one a little bit more on Rashid, but Jordan does need to know that when he gets that deep, that there is that risk and he's going to have a little bit more awareness to step up in the pocket a little bit more before maybe he tries to hurl one of those passes down the field. Bad situation. They never should have been throwing the ball deep in that situation anyway. Matt LaFleur has taken ownership of that. Never the right decision in that spot, but needs to be better protection and Jordan needs to be a little bit more aware. Outside of that, big time drive after big time drive after big time drive from Jordan. He utilized his legs. There was the ad lib play where he kind of threw back across his body to Josh Jacobs. He ran the offense super effectively. It was like something, what, like 24 of 24 under 10 yards or something crazy like that. And then he hit the deep ball to Matthew Golden. He also hit that ball to Golden on the have to have it fourth down game on the line play where he threw an absolute seed right to where Golden could get it with great anticipation on that throw. The touchdown throw to Romeo Doubs on 3rd and 10, the beautiful throw to the outside to Romeo Doubs on another key 3rd down. It was just clutch play after clutch play. Jordan was fantastic and well-deserving of the plus 2.3. Had somebody asked me online, is that the best grade I've given Jordan? It is not. It is tied for the 6th best grade that I've given Jordan so far in his career, but still very good game overall. Number 2, Josh Jacobs, plus 1.05 grade. I thought he ran really, really hard in this game. Had that sweet, 18-yard touchdown run where he cut back at the end and got into the end zone. He had the receiving yardage as well, which was really fun to see from him. He had one solid pass pro block as well. Just anything he was really asked to do, he did well. He created something out of nothing on a couple different occasions, didn't have the greatest run blocking in front of him, and still was able to make some things happen. Led the team in rushing, led the team in receiving. Just a really solid all-around game from Josh Jacobs and certainly a winning performance from him. The number 3 was Romeo Doubs, plus 0.85. And you might be thinking, Andy, he had three touchdowns in this game. How is he not like the highest graded player, or at least, you know, up in the ones or the twos or whatever it might be? Romeo had a really good game, right? The ball I talked about on third down, where he came back to the ball, came up with a big third down catch there, had the third and 10 for the touchdown, the fade for the touchdown, the slant for the touchdown. That's a really good day at the office. I did think there were a handful of plays where he struggled to get off of coverage. There was the play where I thought he had the ability to come up with that ball from Jordan. Even still, I don't know, again, exactly what the situation was there, if he was supposed to cut it back sooner or not, but there was a little bit of an opportunity there. There was also some poor blocking from Romeo in this game. He had a couple good blocks, but he had a couple that he got beat on. He's obviously involved in that play at the end where Golden catches the bubble screen, and, you know, give Diggs more credit on this play for shooting through and immediately making that play. But it did look like Dobbs had some time to react and maybe make that block, or at least get a little bit of a piece of Diggs. So maybe Golden has a little bit more of a chance. There were just some plays like that that were on tape that made this still a really good game. It's going to sound like I'm being negative here on Rome. I'm not. He was awesome. A plus 0.85 grade is really, really good. But if you're wondering why a three touchdown performance doesn't have a plus 1.5 or some crazy grade like that, those were a couple of the reasons why. There were just a few negatives on tape that counterbalanced it a little bit, but still a really great game from Romeo Doubs overall. Bottom three offensive players, excuse me. The first one I am stunned by, not my grade. I'm stunned by PFF's grade on this one. I looked at it after the fact, and I'm going to look at it right now just to make sure I have it right. PFF had this player graded as a 74.8 overall in this game. 60 is their average. So they had him as a net positive. He was by far and away my lowest graded player in this one. You go decide. You go watch the tape. You let me know. I would love to let, you know, listen, I will tell you guys all the time. My grades aren't perfect. PFF grades aren't perfect. It's a little bit always in the eye and the beholder. And you have to kind of go and watch for yourself if you really want to know. Darian Kennard, negative 1.40 grade. We saw this totally different. PFF, again, a real solid positive grade on Kennard. I had the lowest possible offense, well, the lowest offensive grade in this week for Kennard. I thought Kennard really struggled in this game. Had multiple holding penalties that he got away with. He had multiple plays where he got beat easily inside. He got multiple plays where he had to like kind of hold on for dear life. He had some good plays as a run blocker, which is where I think PFF graded him a little bit better, which I think helped him with that overall grade. I just thought that he did not look up to the task. There were a couple of plays even where like he didn't get even a hand on the player. He got caught in between two defenders on a couple different occasions. It just was really sloppy. The technique was poor. It just didn't look like he was quite ready for this one. Now, Green Bay survived it. He had a couple good blocks, as I mentioned, especially in the run game. It wasn't a complete disaster. You were able to get through the game with him as your right tackle, but I came away a little bit more concerned if you need to play him with any sort of regularity moving forward. Meanwhile, PFF liked his game overall, so I'll let you guys decide, but I thought this was a tough one for Darian Kennard. Second up, Luke Musgrave, negative 0.45 grade. I just need more. He had one catch for like, 8 yards over the middle. He may have had one other small one too, but just didn't see it. There was a couple blocks where he completely missed. There's a block on the outside on one of these wide receiver. I think it was actually a screen maybe to Jacobs or Wilson, where he just completely doesn't block anyone on the play. It's weird because I think everyone views Luke Musgrave as a more receiving type tight end, but he's been used on more blocking plays than as a true receiver. It doesn't quite add up. I don't think Green Bay is doing a great job of putting him in the best position to succeed, but the positions that he's put in also, he's not succeeding in, period. And he needs to be better as a blocker. He needs to be better as a receiver. He hasn't exactly exuded confidence as a route runner to get off of any sort of coverage. His run after the catch has not been anything that's been super stellar. I just don't know what you do with Musgrave at this point. I called for earlier this week of saying, I think Fitzpatrick just might need to be the number two tight end if Musgrave can't get going a little bit more here. I don't know, but there just doesn't seem to be much ROI when Musgrave's out on the field. There's not a lot of big plays. The blocking is nowhere near good enough. So what's the use here? Like, the blocking's not good. The receiving's not good. He's not an impact player. There's more negatives and positives. I think Fitzpatrick just gives you a little bit more of a balanced, attack where he's not going to give you much as a receiver, but he's fine as a blocker. I don't know. It's an interesting dynamic. I just hope we get a better Musgrave because I still think there's talent there, but it certainly has not presented itself on the field with any sort of regularity whatsoever. And then last but not least, Rashid Walker, -0.4. This is, again, a player that I thought got away with a few different holding penalties. I'm just left wanting more. There were plays in this one where Rashid Walker looked like he was a rookie playing in his first game. I mean, just hands outside of the shoulder pads, like holding on. There's one where he's almost like bear hugging a guy. He like tackled the guy on another play. He could have had like three or four more holding penalties in this game. There were some good stuff too, which is why it wasn't like a -1 grade or anything like that. You know, I thought he got better as the game went along, if I'm being honest. And as they started to get more into just kind of true pass pro, I thought he got better, especially towards the end of the game. But I thought early on he was all over the place. And as a run blocker, it was a lot left to be desired. So -0.4 for Rashid Walker. All right, some noteworthy offensive players. Emmanuel Wilson, +0.45. Really nice day for him. Ran extremely hard, caught the ball well, pass protected. He did everything that he was asked for in very, you know, overall minimal playing time. Every time he got the ball in his hands, it felt like something good was going to happen. +0.45 grade for him. Matthew Golden, +0.7 grade. The two big ones, the deep play down the field, and then, of course, the big fourth down conversion as well. He had a couple other catches here and there, but overall, solid performance from Matthew Golden. Elton Jenkins, great news here. +0.4 grade from Elton Jenkins. Very encouraging sign. After three pretty brutal weeks, especially week three, which was beyond terrible, a much better performance from Elton Jenkins in week four. He called it out himself that he was not playing well, and he responded in week four. This was much closer to the Elton Jenkins that we know and love and have come to expect. If this is the Jenkins we get moving forward, the center position is going to be in very good hands. This was a very encouraging sign from Elton overall. And then one more encouraging sign-ish. Jordan Morgan had a -0.05 grade in this game. It's a slight negative. PFF had a slight positive on him overall. This was night and day difference from a week ago against Cleveland, where I just didn't feel like he could be on the field at all and was the lowest graded player by far in week three. This was, he looked solid. Like, he didn't look like he was overmatched. He had a holding penalty, had a couple plays that he would like to have back, no question about it. But overall, you felt much more comfortable with Jordan Morgan in this game than anything he put on tape against Cleveland in week three. So I felt like that was a real positive step where he got the start. He played one position throughout the game, and he really looked like he could hold his own, including against Kenny Clark from time to time as well. This was a much more encouraging performance from Jordan Morgan. All right, let's go to the defensive side of the ball. Top three defensive players. Number one, Micah Parsons, a +1.5 grade. He was phenomenal. And it just sucked that Dak got rid of the ball really, really quick on the times where he got through. They definitely got held on a couple of different occasions that went uncalled. And he, of course, had that huge play that saved the touchdown, that probably saved the game for Green Bay in that situation and kept it to a tie. He did everything he could. And I mean everything he could to be a complete game wrecker and just, force multiplier from that defensive end position. They did everything they could to chip him and double team him, and his presence was still felt with 10 freaking pressures in the game. He was awesome. I know it doesn't show up much in the box score, but just know he was winning immediately and constantly all throughout the game and had a really impressive performance. Number two, Evan Williams, who has been, I think, kind of clearly Green Bay's best safety so far, which is something to say. We'll talk about Xavier McKinney more in just a moment. +0.6 grade for Evan Williams. He's been really good to start the season. This isn't super surprising. He was really good as a rookie, but he even looks better right now. He is flying to the football. His ability to come up and run defense is fantastic. He fills the gap with a tenacity and an energy that I love. He is not afraid to tackle anything. On the play where Pickens caught the ball on the kind of like jump ball on the left sideline, got both feet in just barely, Evan Williams is on the opposite hash of the field. He just misses getting there. What I love about that play from Evan Williams is he takes the perfect angle and gets there as quickly as he possibly could. And he's involved in the play. He can't quite, jar the ball loose or anything like that. But I still love the angle and the pace that he took to that ball to even remotely get there was really impressive. I just love everything that Evan Williams is doing right now in coverage, in run defense, in rallying and tackling. Everything he's asked to do, he's doing, and he's succeeding with flying colors. Love the way that Evan Williams is playing football. Number three is Isaiah McDuffie, plus 0.25. I saw a couple of people say like, hey, if McDuffie's your third best guy, just goes to show you, you had a tough game on defense. Maybe there's some level of truth to that, right? What I will tell you, McDuffie's been really good so far this season. It's in like very minimal playing time, but every time he's in, like he's immediately diagnosing the play and going and usually making a tackle. It has been really impressive. So I'm not calling for McDuffie to be in over Quay Walker or Edrian Cooper or anything crazy like that. But I am saying when you're in base and McDuffie comes in, he has been awesome as a number three linebacker through 4 weeks so far. It looks honestly like he's taken a step. And I don't know what that means exactly, meaning like it just probably means he's a good number three linebacker, which is exactly how they're using him. I don't think he's necessarily anything more than that, but I love the way he's playing. He's diagnosing things really, really fast, and his tackling's been phenomenal. Love the way McDuffie's playing, and he was really good in this game again. Again, plus 0.25 grade for McDuffie as the third highest graded player. We'll be right back. Sports are all about competition. Every snap, every possession, every clutch moment matters. That same energy is what 1v1 me brings to video games. Every single day, you can watch and stake on matchups in Madden, NBA 2K, FC, and Call of Duty Search and Destroy. All the games are streamed live, every match has refs, and payouts are instant. And these aren't just random online lobbies. These are the best players in the scene, pros, streamers, and rivals, with season playoffs and the championship game on the line. Every game matters. Over 100 million has already been paid out on the app, and the community is growing fast. If you're a sports fan, a gamer, or just someone who loves having a little extra on the line, 1v1me is where you need to be. It's not just about winning. It's about the bragging rights too. Every match has a chat going crazy, and you can back your pick in real time. Download today and use code PACKADAY. Your first stake on the app is risk-free. That's code PACKADAY for a risk-free first stake. Do not miss this opportunity. The bottom three, you might notice a little bit of a trend with. Number one is corner Carrington Valentine, negative 1.25 grade. This was a tough one for Carrington. He didn't play much, and when he did, pretty much nothing went right. The coverage was poor. The tackling was poor. He was not able to get any sort of pass breakups. It was just when they targeted him, it was pretty much going to be complete. And he struggled to make the tackle after the fact in a very catastrophic play where he allows a completion and then completely takes a bad angle and overruns a play. I think it was what Pickens able to score on that one. There were plays even on tape where he did not have good coverage, that the ball did not get thrown his way. Valentine was really good through the first 3 weeks of the season. This one he was not, and he's going to have to find a way to bounce back from it. Just feels like that sometimes is the Carrington Valentine experience where he's playing great, he's playing great, he's playing great. Ooh, that was an ugly game. He's playing great, he's playing great. Ooh, what was that? Oh, he's playing great again, playing great. And just doesn't you, every once in a while, one of those games sneaks up for Carrington Valentine. I was hoping that maybe this season wasn't going to be the case, but this was definitely one of those games for Carrington Valentine. Number two, corner, Nate Hobbs, negative 0.85. There was actually good stuff on tape for Nate Hobbs. I know people aren't going to want to hear about it. He rallied to the football well. He made tackles, but his coverage was an issue in this game. You guys know it. I don't even need to call out all the plays. There was like three or four plays in a row at one time where he had poor coverage. There were plays similar to Valentine where didn't even get the ball thrown his way and he was getting beat clean. It needs to be much better than that from Nate Hobbs. Same thing for Carrington Valentine. As I talked about at the onset, the corners were the big issue in this game. If the corners play better, against, you know, yes, Pickens is good, but even against the other Dallas receivers, I think Green Bay wins this game, maybe not easily, but they win it. And unfortunately, the corners just didn't have it in this game, and it was a big problem. Which brings us to number three, Keyshawn Nixon. Now, Nixon had actual good plays in this game. The one pass breakup that he had over the middle of the field was a really impressive pass breakup. He had a couple other, like there was a deep ball down the field when there was the other guy wide open on the left side, I think against Hobbs, but the wide or the guy, the deep ball in the right field where Nixon ran step for step with him. And actually Nixon was the one that was closer to the ball. There was a variety of plays like that, right? So he had good plays. he still got beat far too often, and there were definitely plays that he's going to want to have back. And from a coverage standpoint, still allowed completions. Everyone struggled in press man coverage. It was far too inconsistent. Sometimes they were too off in some of their man-to-man coverage, as Matt LaFleur noted earlier this week. It was just very inconsistent cornerback play, and it really caught Green Bay against Dallas. And again, it was a key factor in them allowing 40 points and losing this game. All three of the bottom graded defenders were corners, not usually a great sign. Other noteworthy defensive performances, Nasir Stackhouse, -0.35. We talked about that one already. Just not a great performance from Stackhouse. Just doesn't bring a lot of juice as a pass rusher, is only okay at best as a run defender. They're going to, I think, need to figure out something there with depth if Stackhouse and Brinson can't be a little bit better. Obviously, we haven't seen Brinson yet. He's been a healthy scratch in every game. But that depth, that defensive tackle, certainly just a little bit of a concern. LVN, -0.4. Thought he struggled in this one to really get off blocks, make any sort of impact. There were a couple plays where he got there, and again, just Dak got rid of the ball really quick again. But I thought, given some of the looks that he got, I was looking for him just to be a little bit more disruptive, and he struggled to do so in this game. Xavier McKinney, -0.35. Nothing terrible. I just think he's pressing a little bit. Teams are avoiding him, and I think he wants to go make plays, and I think he's just getting a little bit over-aggressive. Had a missed tackle again in this game. I just want to see him play his normal brand of football and just play consistent, let the game come to him. And I know that's hard when teams are specifically trying to avoid you. Just feels like he might be pressing a little bit at this point in time. And then last but not least, saw a lot of conversation about Edgerrin Cooper. Cooper had a terrible game, had an awful game. What was Edgerrin Cooper doing? It's interesting. And again, this stuff is always just fun in the eye of the beholder. PFF had a very positive grade on Edgerrin Cooper this week. I had a net neutral grade on Cooper. I think the, oh, he had a terrible game stuff was far overblown. He missed a few tackles for sure. Wants those back. I still thought he was his fast, aggressive self, got some pressure in the backfield. I thought he made some good tackles as well and was still all over the place. Just a little bit more inconsistent with the tackling this week. One other thing I'll note here on Cooper. This dude plays a million miles per hour, literally and figuratively. Like, he is just fast, fast, fast. He's going to read it. He's going to react, and he's going to go insanely fast. When you play that way, you're going to make a lot of really sexy, fun plays. But you're also, from time to time, going to overrun some stuff because you're going so freaking fast. And that's just part of the experience that you have to live with when you play with a linebacker that's going a million miles per hour. This is part of the secret sauce for Cooper. Unfortunately, you're just going to have a couple of these where he overruns from time to time. I have no concern over it. Yes, you would like it to be zero where it never happens. I don't think that's realistic. And I think I will very much take the benefits of Cooper playing a million miles per hour and causing total chaos and wreaking havoc all along the defense for a couple plays where he overruns here and there. I thought Cooper still was fine in this game. PFF thought he was good. I understand the missed tackles, but to me, it's nothing egregious. And I love the way that he plays football and willing to take a couple of those plays here and there, because in the long run, it's going to be a huge positive for you. Just to recap everything, top three on offense, Jordan Love, Josh Jacobs, Romeo Doubs. Bottom three, Darian Kennard, Luke Musgrave, and Rashid Walker. Top three in defense, Micah Parsons, Evan Williams, and Isaiah McDuffie. Bottom three, Carrington Valentine, Nate Hobbs, and Keyshawn Nixon. That's going to do it for me today. Thank you so much for joining me. Appreciate you as always. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Wong, Peter Ritaka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gesford, Dylan Patscott, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Carlo Delgado, Willie Winkle-Stinkle, Jen Wright, The Gable Storm, Pack Attack Cast, Chris Weish, Craig, John D. Metropolis, Hayden Radomski, Devin Lane, Gunzusa, Alexander Newell, Dan Miller, Titletown T, and Bill Reinhardt. I'll see you guys soon, but until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.